For those of you that don't know, my name is Dave Madison. My wife, Shyla, and I lead Bridge Church in Medicine Hat. And Ian had asked me to share on our experience on simply, well, actually, he just said, share your experience with your church. And then he said, make sure you give us a title that has the word multiply in it. So I made this up, multiplying kingdom impact on your community. I was going to be facetious and try and fit it in three times, but it didn't work out. So this morning, I want to take a bit of time to share. How many lead pastors are there? I know there's a couple. Yeah, there's a few. Yeah. I got to be real with you is this is because I know when you come to conference, you're like, man, I'm a pastor. You want to like kind of take something that you can like implement in your church to see kingdom growth, to see your church grow. And I actually remember at conference in Medicine Hat, they brought in a guy from Real Life Ministries, which is a church movement in Post Falls, Idaho. Like a town or a city of 30,000, church of 10,000. So I mean, right away you're like, they're doing something right. And I remember him saying at the beginning of conference, because he was the speaker, is like, at the end of conference, I'm going to give you guys three things that will surely grow your church. And so, of course, all the lead pastors and really anybody who's passionate about church growth was like, sweet, I can't wait for the end of conference. And then at the very end, he gets up there and he says, oh, right, I forgot I was going to tell you the three things to make sure that your church grows after all of his sessions. And so he gets up there at the very end and he says, okay, these are the three things. Serve good coffee. Don't put garbage cans near the entrances, because who wants to smell a yucky diaper the first thing they walk into church? And the last thing is 2-ply toilet paper. So this morning, I'm going to give you, or this morning, I'm going to give you one surefire way that I believe, at least in our experience, has led to kingdom impact within our city and our church specifically. However, I need to put this caveat in. Don't do this for the sake of just simply growing your church. Because what we've been able to do, what we've been able to experience, is literally meet less to do more. Let me get into that. So, Holy Spirit, I just pray right now, God, that what we cover this morning, Father, that God, that it would, firstly, God, it would inspire us, Holy Spirit, that it would make change, God, not just within our churches, but within each and every one of us, as not just individuals, but sons and daughters of the Most High King. And so, Lord, we pray that, again, you'd inspire us. We pray that you would challenge us. And most importantly, Holy Spirit, we pray this morning that you would make change in our lives, God, to live, even as Johnny said earlier, to live with an intentionality of that pioneering spirit, to do something, perhaps, it's a little bit out of the box, but to do something that makes difference in our lives, the lives of those that we come in contact with, and ultimately, God, your kingdom. So in your name, amen. So I want to just share, I'm already mentioned Real Life Ministries, I'm a big Jim Putman fan. You know, church is a team sport, for those of that have read it, or Discipleship, or numerous other resources, a massive fat book on discipleship, 12 steps of, it's really good, it's really awesome. But in his book, Discipleship, he clarifies, actually, I added one. He clarifies four different kind of like types of churches, four different kind of like methods, four different kind of like heartbeats of a church. And these are them. I don't have slides for these. I apologize. But it's just simply building a church that is attractional, building a church that is fellowship based, building a church that is missional in its focus, and building a church that is organic, kind of like that micro church, that home church, kind of the stories that you get. It's just building church in the organic kind of way. And I've added this because I've seen this in our city. I've seen it numerous times, is building a church that is experiential. And what I mean by that is just simply we live to just simply be in the presence of God. And so those are, you know, as Jim Putman would say, and they're not wrong. Like a missionally focused church is not wrong. An attractionally focused church, an experiential focused church, they're not wrong. But what he lays out is simply this, is we got to be churches that are discipleship focused. And not any one of those five in particular, but one that is focused on discipleship. And so in our church is, to be honest with you, we've had a very attractional focus over the last 9 years. years when my wife and I took over, and we saw great fruit, and it's awesome, and it's wonderful, but we really found that something was missing. And we honestly thought the something that was missing was just simply a missional focus, which is great, and it's grand, and it's awesome, but let me be real, is when you truly focus on being a church that is built around the idea of discipleship, you're setting yourself up for success to be attractional, to be organic, to be fellowship-based, to be missional, and any of those, be experiential, any of those other ones. And so what I'm coming to you guys from is I'm going to be focusing on our missional focus, but hear my heart in when I say that we are not just a church that is focused on just simply being missional. We want to attract people into the kingdom. We want to obviously have a very heavy focus on being fellowship. And, you know, if you know me, which some of you do, is I'm huge on organic, natural relationships and that kind of thing. So, but what I am going to be focusing on this morning is just simply how to be missional and sharing from our experience, guys. It has been absolutely life-changing and wonderful and challenging and encouraging all at the same time. And so, what I want to do is share with you six steps, and this is stretching me because I am a one-point preacher, and so I'm just going to get the one point out of the way. Jesus loves you, and he loves others, okay? So there's my one point. Remember that. Now we're going to move into six practical steps that you guys can do to see kingdom impact multiplied within not just your church, but guys, within your city and community. And so the first step is just simply this, is pray to get God's heart. I remember years ago, I think it was Hillsong worship, Derek, I don't know if you, is it Hosanna, where it says that line, break my heart for what breaks yours? Right, Hosanna? Yeah, Hosanna. And I remember, you know, like thinking of that song and you know, because I live in the day and age of Facebook, I remember I posted that, like, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. And of course, all the super Christians were like, amen, amen, you know, and then the somewhat Christians were like, ah, good point, you know. And then the ones that weren't Christian were like, wow, this Dave is so passionate, right? But I honestly think that, guys, what if we prayed that with a real sincerity? God, break my heart for what breaks yours. You can read in, I believe it's James, where it says, you know, the purest gospel is those that care for the widows and the orphans. James 1, make up a verse, I don't know, 27, let's just say, 1:23, I don't know, right? But where it says, you know, this idea that, like, this sweet smell, you know, and honestly, like, when I think of, like, presenting, like, an offering to God in our worship. You know, we often use that. I think it was already said, you know, this sweet smell, this sweet aroma to the nostrils of our Father, right? But yet in James, it says, well, if you want to present a pure, unadulterated gospel to him, is take care of the widows and the orphans. And so in the midst of COVID, we have this thing in our church where when we say COVID, you have to spit, you know, COVID, you know, because it was just like, we don't like that, right? But in the midst of COVID, I got to be real with you, okay? And I don't want to step on any toes in the political realm, but Medicine Hat is in what I would like to call the conservative armpit of Alberta. There is more conservatives there than, it is what it is. And so in the midst of our city, during COVID, we saw this kind of rise up amongst a few different churches. And forgive me, I'm not saying like it, you know, right or wrong. I mean, they hear from Holy Spirit, right? But where it was like, we got to push back. We got to fight back against the government. We got to do all this. And I don't want to, you know, step on that landmine of perhaps talking too in depth with that. But what I will say is this, is what we heard was this, Dave, Shy, my wife and I lead our church together. I want you to hold tight to your responsibilities and not your rights. And so for us in that moment, in the midst of COVID, we're honestly, yeah, like did the government over, like all those things, like, you know, where we're just like, God, it doesn't make sense. And like we read in scripture, God, we're not supposed to give up meeting, but we're just like handing our Sunday services away to the government because they say you can't meet and all these things. But we as a church, we felt, not just my wife and I, we felt that this was an opportunity for us as a church to say, we are going to hold on to our responsibilities way tighter than simply our rights as Christians in the wonderful free country of Canada. And so in that moment, what we did is we got on our knees and we said, God, we want your heart. We want, God, what it is that you would ask us to do, God, to take care of the widows. And I'm not just saying widows and orphans, as those are the only two people groups that you can care for, right? Is you read Matthew, how many Keith Green fans? You guys remember Keith Green, right? You remember his song, right? Derek, you know this, the sheep and the goats, right? You know, dude, can you play that for, no, I'm just joking, right? Wonderful, wonderful song, right? And I remember listening to that as a kid growing up, you know, on family trips in the van and thinking, like, Keith Green is lame sauce. And then when I became an adult, I was like, how can I find Keith Green music? Because that was awesome. But he did that song, The Sheep and the Goats, obviously based out of the book of Matthew, where Jesus would share that parable, right? And honestly, guys, it's like, if we're gonna be real, if we're gonna take the scripture seriously, we gotta take it all seriously. And so in that parable, Jesus goes and he shares, like, the sheep are the ones who took care of the widows and the orphans, the ones who were sick, the ones who were hungry, the ones who were naked, to the point of those that didn't, Jesus would in the parable say, depart from me, I never knew you. It's a pretty sombering parable, is it not? And so this was this time in our ministry lives where we, in the midst of COVID, God, we're going to hold on to our responsibilities, where we decided, God, we're going to hold on to that. And we're going to actually, God, I ask you right now, God, that you would give us a burden for those that are without clothes, those that are without food, those that are sick in body, those that are in prison, all those different things that are listed in Matthew 25. And so the first step, I got to be real with you guys, is getting sincere about praying and asking that God would replace your heart with his. Because I'm going to be real with you, I don't care where you live, I promise you that there are people in need. You could live in a massive city, you could live in a small rural town, but there are people that are in need, period. And I got to be, just a time out here, okay? Because I know in the church world, because I've been asked this, like, Dave, like, how do you fit in the gospel to what you guys are doing within helping the, you know, like the needy in your city? And I was like, well, it's interesting because when I read Matthew 25, this is what it says. It says, when I was hungry, you gave me food, period. And see, in the church world, we love to attach, in a sense, like our own kind of way to accomplish the gospel. And I might step on toes here, but by always making sure we give them an invite to church. If we give out clothes, if we give out food, here's a tract. Here's a, you know, but I look in that and I'm like, but God just said through scripture, through that parable that Jesus shared, when I was hungry, you gave me food, period. And I'm not saying that you can't give the gospel away. That's not what I'm saying at all. But sometimes we think that it's incomplete if we haven't been able to pray for them or invite them to church or lead them to the Lord. But yet when we get to heaven, Jesus is going to say, hey, when I was hungry, you fed me. And so, guys, this is for us. This is the journey that we were on where we're like, God, I get your heart. Honestly, even as something like this, because in the church world, this is the be-all and end-all, isn't it? It's like, man, if we could just be preaching the gospel from the stage, but God is saying, no, the first step I want you to do is just take a step down and ask to get my heart. And so for us, that's what we did. We said, God, we want your heart. And he gave us a burden and a passion and honestly just kind of this like unction within us to say we need to be about not just bringing people into the church, not just, forgive me, not just church planting. Guys, it's a both and. But we, God, we need your heart in order to effectively reach people. And I'll say this with the gospel by just simply meeting needs in their lives. God, would you give me your heart for kingdom impact in my city? And then the next step, if you're a note taker, is just simply this. God, I pray that you would give me your wisdom on how to accomplish what it is you've put in my heart. I say it like this. Often God gives you a way when you already have a why. See, and this wasn't something, I love the story of when Mary and Joseph lost God. You remember that? You know, they go to, you know, Jerusalem or wherever, you know, and they worship and stuff and they do that. And then they get in the minivan and pack up and head home. And all of a sudden they're like, we lost God, right? And they're like, they have to go back. And what was Jesus's words? Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? And so honestly, it's my hope and my prayer for each and everyone here and perhaps anyone that's listening after is that you would get that must mentality. Because guys, it changes things. How many of you guys have kids? Just go ahead, right? If your kid needed a surgery that costed $100,000, would you say, I want to have $100,000? No, you'd say, I have to. I have to have $100,000 so that I can give my kid the surgery or whatever it's needed to treat this disease or infection or whatever. See, what if we move to that in, as it pertains to actually making kingdom impact within our city? Not, oh man, wouldn't it be, Dave, I mean, yeah, he wears pink sweaters. So it was a little bit offensive, but like, you know, like, wouldn't it be great? I mean, I kind of want to see that in my city. Because that's not, I'm not here to get you to want to make kingdom impact in your city. I'm here to challenge you to move to that must man. Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? And see, for us, it was like, man, God, would you give us the wisdom? Would you give us the way, God, because we already understand the why you have asked us to, you've commissioned us to, you've empowered us to, you've encouraged us to, you've challenged us to, you have commissioned us to. So God, give us the way. And see, for us, I remember, again, this was, I think it was January 2020. I remember my wife and I, and even Randall and Sarah, their associate pastors at the church there, we began to pray, God, would you give us the way to reach those that nobody else is reaching? Would you give us the way? And I remember it was so weird. Our friends in Lethbridge phoned me. They pastor another church in Lethbridge, and they ran this ministry called My City Care. Not that it's about a name, not that it's about that, but I mean, for us, we were like, God, we want to create a movement and not just an event. I mean, honestly, I could probably ask numerous different churches that are represented here, you know, what types of things you've done to help those that are needy, and we could all name all the different events. In fact, we have done events before. I remember one year we packed 49 turkey hamper meals and, you know, gave them away, and, you know, we did all these kind of events, but in our hearts, we were like, God, this has got to be a movement because that's what you call called the ecclesia, the church to be, not just an event-based organization, but a movement that takes ground. And so this individual phoned me and said, hey, would you be interesting, and I'm going to use terminology you've never heard of, would you be interested in doing a street store in Medicine Hat? And see, again, I already knew what a street store was. I had seen their little bit of a movement that they started with My City Care in living this out based on Matthew 25. So I emphatically, right away, I was like, yes, I want, God, would you give us the wisdom to figure out how to do what it is that we need to do. So first we pray, God, give us your heart. And then the next thing we pray is, God, give us the wisdom in how to do it. Give us your plan, Father. And so for us, it was that phone call. And I mean, you know, what's a street store? Well, she told me, she said it's simply this, is you just get clothes, you gather clothes, and then you gather food, and then you find some way to feed some people, a lunch or something, and you just host a big fat garage sale in your parking lot. And you spend some money on some invite cards, you spend some money on Facebook or, you know, social media marketing, and you do this, and you just invite people to come that are in need to come and get a free lunch, to come and get a free bag of food that they can take home, and to come and get however many they clothes that they need for them, their kids, other people that live in their houses with them, all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, I don't know how we're going to do that. Because we don't have any clothes. We don't have like this big, you know, backlog of food hampers. We got a little like food pantry with, I think, like, you know, 6 cups of Campbell's soup in it and like maybe a cup bag or two of noodles. But God, and we don't have the budget to feed however many people that show up. But see, this is what we did. We said, God, give us the wisdom, give us the way. And God was like, here's the way. And see, now, this next step, I got to be real with you guys, is because how many of you guys find it easy to pray? I mean, come on. I mean, we just get on our knees and we say, God, thank you, right? We have thanksgiving in our hearts and we present our prayers and petitions to God, as it says in Thessalonians, right? And, you know, we just kind of find it easy to pray. But guys, the biggest and hardest step was for us to say, cool, street store. Like, let's feed people. Let's clothe people. Let's give them lunch. Let's give them a bed, you know, let's hygiene products, you know, all these things. Like, yeah, okay, that's sounds great, but we don't have any of that. But see, for us, the step that we needed to take, and it's, oh, where am I? Third step was just simply this. It was take a step, like an actual active step, to say, we're going to do that. I don't know how, but we're going to do that. And so you know what we did is we set out. We said, okay, we picked a date. We picked a Saturday morning when we were going to open our parking lot and we were going to market. We're going to get signage. We're going to invest money in little postcards and we're going to send them out. Guys, being real, okay, just a little side note. Those of you that do like marketing, you know, kind of thing, like those of you that live in Canada, I don't know if you guys got this down in the U.S., but like Canada Post has this wonderful tool where you can pick like letterboxes and postal codes and you can actually choose the exact demographic or exact, you know, kind of location within your city, within your town to just say, oh, that's who I want to reach. So we picked two of the poorest areas in Medicine Hat and we sent out postcards and we said, guess what? Our parking lot's going to have a bunch of tables with a bunch of clothes that we don't have yet. And we're going to be giving away a bunch of food that we don't have yet. And we're going to serve lunch and we don't know how yet. But we're going to give all that away so that we can meet your needs. And we didn't put Bridge Church on it at all. It was just like, man, we're just, I mean, Bridge Church is where it happened or whatever. But we put My City Care on. We thought, let's become another My City Care branch. And we didn't want to push our idea of like, man, this is Bridge Church. This is like, this is us, you know, like we just thought, let's just meet needs. And so we sent those postcards out. We did, you know, Facebook, you know, advertising for it. And, you know, and the amount of shares that, you know, all of a sudden people were piping up and it was being shared amongst other groups. And we're like, oh, Lord, we need some clothes. And see, that's the fourth step is, yeah, you actively take that step to say, God, we're going to do this. And it's interesting because I like to think, and I don't really have scriptural background for this, but I like to think that we're supposed to take a step first and then we're supposed to ask for God's provision. And see, I think that sometimes we swap it and we're just like, God, would you provide everything we need so that we can take a step that doesn't require faith? But see, for us, it was like, no, we're taking the step and then we realized that we needed to ask for God's provision. And here's where it gets awesome. See, because, again, we didn't have clothes. We didn't have food. But we just thought, well, even just in our church. You know, and then all of a sudden, on these Facebook posts that were like, you know, like, come and get clothes, people started commenting, do you guys need clothes? Do you need food? A food truck in Medicine Hat piped up and said, you know what? We'll join with you guys. We'll serve everyone lunch free of charge. All of a sudden, we're just seeing like these clothes come in out of nowhere. I mean, it's now, we've renovated our building. It's now the men's bathroom, but it used to be a dance studio. We had to like give up our prayer room. It was also our prayer room on Sunday mornings. We had to give it up because we needed a place to start storing clothes and storing clothes and storing clothes. Yeah. And it was wonderful. And then food started coming in. We were able to put hampers together. And the church in Lethbridge said, hey, we'll help. We'll come. We'll bring some hampers, right? And they brought some hygiene packets, you know, for the ladies and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, on March 29th of 2020, we had over 300 people show up at our parking lot to get free clothes, free food, and free lunch. And I remember my wife and I, Randall and Sarah, we were just in awe. I remember actually at one moment where I just had to kind of stand back and I just started crying because I'm like, this is awesome. Like this is that many people need within like a 4-week period, whenever it was that we lead time on launching it, like within 4 weeks or whatever it was, we saw over 300 people come out and say, thank you. You know, and everything within me as an evangelist wanted to say, man, you gotta come to church tomorrow. But I was just like, no, we're just here to just meet needs. And see, I think that when you don't care, and you know, I know this is a phrase that you've heard before, when you don't care who gets the credit, it's amazing what you can get done. And see, this wasn't about furthering Bridge Church. This wasn't about like, man, wouldn't it be great if all of a sudden, you know, 6 people get slain in the spirit and 3 people get healed and, you know, 10 people come to church and, you know, this massive revival, guys. I mean, that would be great. Don't get me wrong. But see, for us, it was just simply, we just want to make kingdom impact in your life by meeting your need. And see, so that was us. That was our journey. And guys, I mean, honestly, it was absolutely breathtaking to see that type of movement already start within our city. And of course, I've already said this. We're like, we don't want to make an event. This isn't about us just, you know, like, wow, you know, patting ourselves on the back. We fed and clothed 300 people. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that now when Matthew 25 happens in my life, I get to stand before the King and say, I remember that, Lord. I remember feeding those 300 people. I have done my job. Mic drop, I'm out. See, it wasn't about an event. It was about starting a movement. Guys, the church, the word church is ecclesia. I know you all know that. We're a bunch of, you know, super Christians in here, right? Ecclesia, it's a gathering, it's a movement, it's like a people. It's not this hierarchy, it's not this event, it's not this building. It's a movement of people, and if there's one thing I know about movements, they move. And so for us, we were like, we are starting this. Yes, it was this one event, but we're going to do it again. So we picked another Saturday. And guess what happened? Not only the provision of clothes came in by the buttload, but food came in and people came in and volunteers came in. And guys, I got to be real with you. We decided to start this movement in our city for two reasons, to help people and to unite churches. Because in our city, guys, and maybe it's the same as yours, there's long been since division and like, oh, you're doing it that way. And I think COVID kind of elevated that in a lot of ways, right? Oh, you're one of those churches. Oh, you're one of those churches. We were like, we want to be known for the hope of the gospel, not the fear of maybe or not the, you know, all these other things. We want to be known for the hope of the gospel. And so, you know, when other churches were doing this and doing that, we were like, we're going to just simply do the gospel. And so we had all these other churches decide to say, hey, can we host one? I was like, yeah, absolutely. Oh man, and what's crazy, guys, is I mean, I am not Lutheran, okay? I'm like charismatic, I'm Pentecostal, spirit-filled, and we had this Lutheran church. His name is Pastor Roland, you know, with his little white thing, comes up and he says, excuse me, Dave, could we perhaps partner with you in doing what it is that you guys are accomplishing? And I was like, yeah, bro, that's awesome, right? And he's turned into one of my dear friends because they chose to unite with us in just simply not about building a church, about making kingdom impact. And so, you know what, another one of the things we did, and I love that my two friends here are wearing, we started a clothing line because this idea that we thought, man, wouldn't it be great if we were known simply for kingdom and not Bridge Church and not like a method and not, you know, like a way or anything like that. And so we started this clothing line, Kingdom Over Brand, and it's become this passion, this heartbeat of our church to simply say, guys, we want to be known for kingdom. I don't want to be known for the pastor of Bridge Church. I want to be known for kingdom impact. And the point of the sweaters is just simply this, is for every sweater that we sell, you feed a family within our community. So we thought, wouldn't it be great? You sell a hoodie for $50 and you buy a food hamper to give to a family. So we have literally over the past year and a half, I don't even know, sold over $5,000 worth of apparel and fed countless people by simply making cool pink hoodies. And other colors, Ava. Yeah. So we prayed to get God's provision. And again, I've already said, here's where it gets crazy, is because I'm a bit of a visionary. I'm a bit of like, God, I want the next thing, you know? Like, okay, cool, we've started that. What's the next thing? And so I remember thinking, like, wouldn't it be great if we had a storefront that wasn't just simply dependent on a parking lot in the nice months, if we had a storefront where we could open up a free clothing store? And so Randall and I, we went walking around downtown. I think it was in November because it was cold. We're like, why'd we choose to do this now? And we're Medicine Hat, like honestly, a lot of cities has got a lot of for lease signs, you know, in downtown core and whatnot. So we're peeking in and looking through windows, like freezing our butts off, looking and trying to think like, wouldn't it be great if we could lease this spot and, you know, like have this place? And so we did that, I don't know, for 45 minutes, an hour. We made some calls. Nobody answered, you know, all this stuff. We left messages. And then I get home and I tell my wife, men, let's release our spouses, our wives, to hear from Holy Spirit and speak into what it is that we're doing. Like, guys, I know, myself included, it's so easy to be passionate and like, just like, oh, we're leading, we're going, you know, but man, my wife, I love how she hears from Holy Spirit. She's like, well, why'd you do that? I was like, whoa, what do you mean? I was like, I want to start a store. Wouldn't it be great to have a clothing store free of charge? Anybody can come in and just take what they need. And she's like, yeah, no, that's, I get the idea for store, but Dave, you should have just asked me because I've been really feeling like God's got something for us without us even asking. I was like, you could have told me that before we freezed our butts off, right? No word of a lie. That was on a Friday. And on a Monday, Pastor Roland phones me. He says, "Hey, Dave, I've been thinking about my city care. And we are a very gray hair church. And our whole 2,100 square foot of kids church is just sitting vacant. We have four kids in kids church, and it's basically the other pastor's kids. Do you guys want it?" I was like, 2,100 square feet to open up a clothing store? Yes, sign me up. "How much does it cost?" "Well, whatever, we'll figure it out. $900 a year, just to basically pay for utilities." And I mean, you guys all know what happened with utilities, right? So for $900 a year, and in fact, actually, that was just the first year. They haven't even charged us for the second year. They're like, "No, we see the fruit." So we've now been operating a clothing store in addition to our street stores that we are continuing to run. We now operate a clothing store that is completely manned by volunteers, other than the two staff members that we've actually invested in managing all things My City Care, that is open 4 days a week for anyone to come in and get free clothes. See, when you pray for God's provision, he's like, "I can do that." And guys, it didn't stop there. Because then again, I'm like, "Hey, God, we got that going. Lord, I want to do more." And, you know, one of the opportunities that, you know, this Lethbridge branch of My City Care has done is a thing called Cinderella Shop. Because they realize there is a lot of grads out there that don't have the finances to keep up with the other grads that come from more affluent families. So we thought, well, wouldn't it be great if we had some dresses and some suits that we could outfit these kids with that don't have the means? We started it within literally, what, like a month, 2 months. All of a sudden, we had been donated 300 dresses and tuxedos. And now we run full on every spring, March, April, May, June, a Cinderella shop to which we just basically go to the social workers at the schools and we say, "Hey, do you know people, individuals that are in need?" They forward us people. We contact them and we say, "Guess what? We've got," and guys, it's not just the grad dresses. All of a sudden, photographers, and all of a sudden, you know, DJs, and all of a sudden, limo drivers, and all of a sudden, like, makeup artists and hairdressers are like, "You're doing what? You're providing a free grad experience to people?" And now, honestly, we outfit grads with dresses or suits or whatever it is that they need, with photography, with makeup, with hair, with nails. It is, guys, it's blowing up in our city. You know how much it's cost? $0. But a lot of effort. But let me tell you, it's worth it when you have this grad come in. Her name was Michaela. I can see that here in Winnipeg. But her mom is standing there with, I think it was with my wife, or was it with Shyla? Yeah. And standing there, and she's weeping, seeing her daughter dressed out in this gown. And she says, "Thank you so much. I honestly didn't know if I was going to be planning a funeral or a grad. And now here my daughter." And Michaela looks over and she just starts crying. She's like, "I'm beautiful." Guys, kingdom impact is so worth it when you don't care about who gets the credit. When you don't care, honestly, people ask me all the time, "Dave, how can we pray for you?" And I always say this, pray that I care about my church less and kingdom more. Because I'm not here to build Bridge Church. I'm not here to, you know, like effectively like, "Oh, we want to see your church grow and grow and grow and all that stuff." I'm here to make kingdom impact. And see, I think when you get that focus, man, let me tell you, God unleashes the heavens of abundance. So we pray for God's heart. We pray for God's wisdom. We take the active step. Pray for God's provision. And you want to know the next step? Pray more. See, because I think that when you see success, you can kind of like fall into that idea of like, "Ah, we've done it." But see, for us, we were like, we're not content. I mean, I know that, you know, read scripture, we're supposed to be content. But if there's one area that I think you shouldn't be ever content in, is what it is that you can do for kingdom impact. And so we began to pray more, "God, give us more vision, give us more wisdom." And so then we thought, wouldn't it be great if we could help meet the needs of special needs in within our city? And so we partnered, you guys all heard, right? Big football fans, right? Tim Tebow, he started an organization called Night to Shine, which is basically just a one-time event once a year, this big gala that you invite anybody from the special needs community and you bring them in and you give them tiaras and crowns and you treat them like the kings and queens that they are and you celebrate them and you announce them as they're coming in. It is a dance. I wish, honestly, I should have brought pictures to show you guys what Night to Shine looks like, but you can Google it. You can find this out. And guys, honestly, I'll say this, it was the best thing that we've been able to do as a movement of My City Care within our city. because we got to see 48 different special needs individuals within our city. And what's great, guys, is another church said, hey, we've got the venue. Do you want to come do this at our church? Let's do it together. So we're like, yeah, absolutely. And you know, I love it. They were like, but don't put the Link Church on the invite because it's not about us as a church. And so this idea, I love how Gianni said, like, we spread it like a virus, right? I love how they caught this, like, idea that it's not about just simply building your church. It's about building kingdom. And guys, we had over 100 different individuals, including the aides and then volunteers. We had to turn volunteers away. Right? How many of us pray for volunteers? God, we need volunteers. Guys, we had to turn volunteers away. And this year, I know it's planned for February 9th within our city. Already, I know that all of our volunteer needs are already met. And we haven't even marketed or advertised anything. We have every single need met. Tim Tebow Foundation actually decided, hey, guess what? You qualify for $6,000 for us to help you pull this event off. We're like, manna from heaven. More, Lord. Because we prayed for provision, and guys, we prayed more. And see, now, I mean, honestly, I remember, I was going to save this for the end, but We began to pray more and pray more and pray more. And God, what's next? And so we had this idea. Wouldn't it be cool if we had like very specifically like a 20-foot by 8-foot enclosed trailer, you know, that had the drop down thing on the front and then the door on the side. And then we could just put My City Care on it, mobile store, and we could pack it out with clothes and, you know, food. And we could just show up at a school and we could just say, hey, guess what? Like any kids that need winter items, toques, hats, mittens, clothes, coats, whatever, some food, some snacks, whatever, you know? And so we just thought, well, wouldn't it be great if we had that? And then we looked at our bank account for My City Care. We're like, we don't have the money for that. Right. And one of the things, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of George Mueller. He's the guy that started orphanages in the UK. And one of the things that he's, I guess, if you want to call it famous for, is just simply this, is he never asked anyone for anything. So in the church world, again, guys, we're doing it right now with our renovation, right? We're doing this massive renovation and, you know, we started a capital campaign and all this stuff. But one of the things that we felt very clearly as it pertains to My City Care is just simply this, is we're just going to go to the source for every need that we have. And so we felt we're not supposed to go and ask God. We need more space, Lord. We need like honestly 6,000 square feet, I think, to be able to pull off a massive clothing sorting center. Because guys, we have 3 sea cans, 20 feet by 8 foot, packed with clothes. You need clothes to pull something like this off. You let me know. We will bring clothes to you. Because God is the God of provision. And so we thought, wouldn't it be great if we had that trailer? So I just started to pray, you know, and our board released $3,000. We found a trailer for $6,000 and it's like, well, we have $3,000. And I had to tell my friend who was selling it. It's actually a $10,000 trailer that he's selling for $6,000 and a $4,000 tax receipt. And I said, hey, Henry, I'm so sorry, but we weren't able to secure the other funds. And I was like, hey, God, well, that's cool, whatever. Literally just yesterday, I got texted by another pastor in Medicine Hat. How much do you need for the trailer? We got you. So now we get to open up a mobile clothing store to bring to different schools and to just simply, hey, here it is. Why are you doing it? If they ask why are you doing this, oh, it opens that door. Why? Because Jesus would do this for me. So we're going to do it for you. And One of the other things that we were praying for and we're believing for was like, God, we need more space. We need more space because we get all these sea cans, we get all this stuff, but we just need more space to do it. So what did we do? Me and Randall went looking at Leeson. No, we didn't at all, because we thought, well, we learned from Shai's lesson earlier that we're just going to go to God. And lo and behold, guys, just what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we have just been donated 6,400 square feet in a semi-residential downtown, you know, lots of poor people around there and all this stuff, to now actually move all of our operations for My City Care to one location. All of our storage, all of our clothing store, and, you know, we offer, I didn't even say this, you know, like some psychologists and therapists within Medicine Hat. Hey, do you guys have people that reach out that are in need of not just material needs, but actually help, you know, getting through addiction recovery? And so now we have 3 clinics that have all donated. I think the lowest one has donated 4 hours a month free counseling for anybody who needs it. So we've been, you know, people message us on Facebook and email us, and we're like, you need help with that? Here you go. And we send them to these different outfits that actually bring them through, actually like mental therapy, counseling, and all that stuff. When you pray for God's provision, he comes through. So the last step there, I said, was pray more. And the final step, got to be real with you, is just simply, and where was I? I think it was right here, maybe, is just never stop. See, what's funny, I thought of this, you know, during the service this morning. I was like, oh, cool, there's six steps. Is because in my world, the church has always been that. And guys, I'm not speaking against it. I mean, it's needed. It's essential for growing kingdom. But see, in my mind, it was always, oh man, I'm going to be a youth pastor. I'm going to be an associate pastor. I'm going to rise up within the ranks to the point of becoming a lead pastor. And this whole journey has taught me it's not just about that. It's about getting down where the people are. And so guys, never stop. Like, hopefully I've inspired you to some degree to say, yeah, I want to make kingdom change within my community. I know some of you are already taking steps and you have those avenues. But guys, never stop. See, one of the things I told Pastor Roland when he said, hey, Dave, yeah, you can take that 2,100 square feet of our kids' area. I remember telling him, hey, Roland, because... Now, here's the thing why I say it's a surefire way to make kingdom impact within your church. Because in the last 2 years, in the midst of COVID, we have continued to grow and grow. And our kids' churches continue to grow. The level of staff that God has brought in, these two individuals, God has brought into my life and Shiloh's life. And we've been able to see abundance. We've been able to see financial abundance. We decided, let's buy a building in behind us and grow our kids' church into that. And let's go ahead and renovate to the tune of $400,000 our entire building. And it's been a journey and it's been hard. But guys, it's been wonderful because God is at the helm of it all. So we've been able to see that. But I don't think it's because we're doing things better on a Sunday morning. I believe it's because we've empowered our church to get out of our building on a Monday through Saturday. And I'll say it like this, and this is what I told Pastor Roland. I said, hey, I know you're giving us this building right now, but I got to be real with you. I look forward to the day when you have to kick us out. He looked at me, he's like, what? I said, because I promise you, that as you guys join with us in this movement of actually living out Matthew 25, God's going to do something in your church. And so this past January, I got a letter from the board of Victory Lutheran Church that said, hey, we regret to inform you that we need our kids' church building back. From 4 kids to now 28 kids in their kids' ministry. And they're like, we're busting at the seams. We need that space back. I was like, manna from heaven. Awesome. And it put us in a place to actually say, God, we need what it is that you have for us next. And so that building that it came through to the tune of 6,400 square feet, we didn't ask a single soul. We prayed. Somebody in our church, hey, I heard you talk about My City Care having to move out. Like, where are you guys going? We don't know yet. I have something for you. Free. Not even the $900 a month anymore. Or a year, sorry. Absolutely free. And so over the past 3 years, I know Pastor Ian mentioned it yesterday, our little church of, you know, 200 people has been able to feed and clothe over 5,000 people. We have over 3 sea cans full of clothes. We ran with a 2,100 square foot street store. We are presently in the process. November 1st, we get possession of the new place to build that store and build storage facility. We have seen 300 dresses and suits been donated. We have seen Night to Shine succeed. We've been able to do all these things because the first thing we did was say, God, what is your heart for us to carry out within our city? Because I know, honestly, it's tough because I get it. As a pastor, I want to grow our church. I do. But guys, we found that the less you focus on your church, the more God will grow it. So this is the statement that I told Pastor Roland. I said, hey man, when you do kingdom work, you see kingdom blessing. And so now we're in this perpetual state of Romans 8, where you can read, you know, you did not receive the spirit of fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. I love what it says in the Message version. It says, you did not receive this timid, grave-tending life, but you are to live through Holy Spirit, adventurously expectant, greeting God with a, what's next, Dad? So for us, that's where we're living. And honestly, my hope and my prayer is that I've encouraged you and empowered you to actually be thinking, what's next, Dad? Holy Spirit, I thank you for this group of people. And Father, I just pray that, God, that not my words, but Holy Spirit, what it is that you would speak to each and every one, to challenge them, God, to empower them, God, to perhaps light something under their derrieres, Father, to see the importance of getting outside a church, God, not with the intent to build that specific church, but God, to make kingdom impact. And so, Lord, I just thank you, God, that what has said here, God, can go forth and be multiplied in numerous other towns, communities, and cities, God, within the LifeLinks network. And so, God, we just say thank you. I wanted to save just a few minutes at the end, and, you know, not that I am a wealth of wisdom, because I am not, but I just wanted to simply just open it up if there are questions as it pertains to how we do things. That was one of the things that Pastor Ian had specifically asked me to share this on, was not just share some cool stories of God's abundance, but actually perhaps within LifeLinks kind of give you some infrastructure and a way and a kind of a how in order to actually implement some of these things within your own church. So if there are questions, and by all means, if there's none, that is A-okay. Consider this 13 minutes a blessing. Yes. Actually, is this being recorded? I just want to make sure that the questions get on the mic too.
I just wanted to know, I really appreciate everything you've shared. Like, what an amazing work you're doing in Medicine Hat. But I'm curious to know, like, has your church grown through the outreach and through the clothing and everything you've done and the expansion that you've seen in doing this outreach and not branding it with Bridge Church and not branding it, you know, with anything related to your personal church? Are you seeing souls come into the kingdom?
Yes. Straight up. Yes. And it's not just at our church. And again, what we've been able to see through like building this is not just our church. Like I said, with Victory Lutheran Church, they've seen growth. They've seen souls, right? And so, again, I mean, yeah, I love that our church, we're seeing it too. But again, it's our focus isn't just simply to put butts in seats in our church. And so, I mean, obviously, souls saved. And that's what, you know, my primary gifting is evangelist, right? And so it was very hard for me to read Matthew 25. It was like, you fed them, period. I'm like, ah. Right? But at the same time, guys, honestly, yeah, we've been able to see growth. And actually, this is what it's also done. It's gotten people out of the mire and clay of just religiosity to actually join up. So we've not only seen souls saved, but in the last like year, we've been able to see numerous individuals come into our church and they say, I'm here because I believe in what it is that you're doing. Right? And not that, hear me out, I'm not about sheep stealing, that's not what I'm saying at all, but it's like just these people that are like, I'm buying into the vision of what it is that you guys are accomplishing, and I want to play a part in it. So, yes. Any other questions? Yes. Oh, thanks, Isaac.
Are you thinking of expanding this to churches within the network?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so anyone can come to you and say, hey, I want to do this in my community.
Yep.
And you can show us how and...
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Call it a conundrum is because we joined up with My City Care. They are very much married to that. We don't give the gospel away and whatnot. And even though it very much lines up with the culture of our church, I totally get that not every church in LifeLinks thinks like that. And it's A-okay. Like if you've been inspired and you say, hey, we want to do a street store, but in addition to that, we want to invite people to our church, then more power to you. I pray for provision and abundance and souls saved and all that, right? But the thing is because we're My City Care and we're all kind of been in talks and it's been a bit of a rub, we've been in talks to just simply start our own within LifeLinks. So Pastor Ian is my former pastor. And so we and him and I have been talking quite extensively on how to create something within LifeLinks using this infrastructure. And don't get me wrong, the My City Care people are like, take it, use it. Yeah, absolutely. We want to see kingdom growth. But we're just trying to figure out how to actually strategically, because My City Care Medicine Hat has built quite a momentum. So we're hesitant to like to let go of that name or, you know, that kind of that movement. But yeah, we have, in fact, I think we had talked about even setting up a booth and, you know, and just sharing resources and, you know, like this is how we've done it, infrastructure, and this is what you need in place. And yes, absolutely. How fast? Pardon? One event. And it was just, I remember on the phone when Jen phoned me, and my first concern was like, Jen, we don't have clothes. And she laughed. I was like, well, that's encouraging. But she said, you'll have clothes. Don't worry. Yeah, well, being real, we have a lot of women's clothes. Men, we do not like to get rid of stuff. We're like, no, those are my lawn mowing shoes. No, those are my camping shoes. You know, so I'll be real with you. Men's stuff is always harder to come by, but you will have ample clothes for ladies. Yeah. Y'all wear something once and you're like, any more questions?
Yeah, just do you have any advice on partnering with existing social services like food banks or
yep.
Mennonite Central Committee storefronts and yep. so on, so you don't are not in competition with them?
No, it's great. Great question. It is a continual kind of thing, a tension, if I may, because at one point, yes, we don't want to replicate things. We want to come alongside. And so our food program is just strictly two-day food hampers. We don't, you know, kind of take people on, you know, continue clientele. In fact, we have a rule. You only get one of these food hampers every three months, right? So we don't try to conflict with that. However, I'm going to be real with you, is this whole heart, and this, I didn't even mention this, is God saying, I want the church to take its job back. Because the church has honestly abdicated a lot of things, social services, foster care, food programs, you know, mental health stuff. We've just given it to government agencies over the years and years and years. So this, to be honest with you, is not about competing. It's about takeover. And I know that sounds bad, but it's my heart, guys, that the church is the one that is known to provide food support, clothing support, prison ministry, all that stuff. Not to say that, you know, we can do it better, but we just have a guy with us that can help us do it with more of a purpose than just meeting. I'll say it like this, as we meet these perceived needs so that one day they can meet the real need. Any more?
Actually, I have a question if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Did you face any like pushback, or did you have to sort of train or teach your church to get on board with it? And or people would think, well, that's not our role as a church. Had you have to face those kinds of things, or how did you?
I think so, but you know, I kind of have this statement of like, and you can call me brash for this, but like, I guess I'm kind of known in our church as a get up out of your seat type of pastor. You know, and if people aren't, I mean, I would never say this in my church, but like, if you don't want to get up out of your seat, then if you could just not come back to it, cause I need that seat. you know, cause again, being real guys, I honestly don't care, if our church ever gets past 200, I don't care. But what I care about is feeding more than 5,000 people that we've been able to. So yes, there has been a little bit, not necessarily pushback, but just not buy-in. Like it's not coming, they're not coming and saying, Dave, this is really dumb. You should be focusing on feeding the sheep in our own church. They don't say that. They just don't buy in. And honestly, we talk about it pretty much every Sunday. Sorry? Yeah. We talk about it pretty much every Sunday. And so it just becomes a thing that like, this is who we are as a church. And, you know, if people don't buy into or like the culture, then they'll move on. And that's fine. I honestly have had people say like, hey, this is what I like in a church. And I was like, well, let me help you find one. Because that's just not us, right? So, yeah.
I was just going to add, just about like the actual execution of it and is there pushback and things? Yes, there is. But it's because it's a DNA. Like, it's not, Dave has done a really good job of saying, this is actually who we are. It's not an add-on to another ministry lineup that we have already. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think that's what makes this a little bit different, is like, we're in. We're all in. Everyone who's in the church, we are saying to them, this is what we do. So if you don't like it, it's going to be hard for you.
Yeah.
So I think that's just a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And people's opinions change when they see real needs being met.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah. Any more? Awesome. Well, hey, guys, bless you. You have 4 minutes of extra added time to get in line first. Love you all. Bless you. If you do have any more questions, even as to, like you had said, like how, come find me. I am more than willing to share what it is that we've been able to experience and how, or any of us. Yeah, or my wife. My wife is doing another session right now. So thank you, Lord, that they schedule us at the same time. Yeah. Thank you, guys.